Kind of watching my life flash before my eyes there. Hi, I'm Caitlin. Recognize most of you. So I spent 6 months in India last year, hence the fun close. I just want to start by saying truly thank you to all of you who supported making it possible for me and actually for a lot of our music team here to get there. Your financial support, but your prayers and your reaching out to me, and people sent me videos, and I got the live tweets from Cherie. I would like stay up and wait for the sermon to see what was going on at church. So you all were very present on my mind, and I felt like I was still kind of here with you. That's because so many of you reached out. So thank you truly for your support. You made all of this possible, all that possible that you just saw. So that video is from the kind of the very end of my 6 months there. And a team from MTM came out to join me. So Dave, Joel, and Julie, Tad, who went somewhere else, and George, who's on the soundboard back there, and a few other people. And you can see we had quite a time there. We got to give the first ever jazz and blues worship concert in Dubai. First time they'd ever heard it, and they were pretty floored, as we all were the first time we heard that. We got to do our school program that talks to the students about having a calling, kind of looking outside yourself. How might you be called to serve your community? Because the students there need to hear that. They're looking around at the atrocities that are happening, and they're saying, what can we do? So to get to be there, to get to speak into that was incredibly powerful, and it was absolutely the right time. So thank you to Joel and Julie who put that video together. Isn't that fantastic? So the whole trip for me was kind of an exercise in saying yes to God and doing things that I didn't think I could do or never thought I would do. We knew before I left that the team from MTM was coming out to join me, so I did a lot of work preparing for that. But kind of the main reason I was there to work was to work with women in India. And if you remember from before I left, kind of outside the Christian circles, women aren't that valued in the country. I mean, this is a country that kills baby girls just because they're girls. They don't see them as having enough value that they should live even to be a year old. They see them as kind of a burden. So I was there to help start MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, which is an organization that brings women together, both to share their lives at a very difficult time in their lives as their new mothers, and so that they can hear the gospel. It's organized relationship evangelism is at its heart, and it's tremendously effective, especially in the Indian culture where they have now basically a Hindu government. It's still a free country, but the government is all Hindu, and it's not the best place to be a Christian, especially in the north part. So I went all over the country doing these training sessions, and I kind of thought I was going to go there as, you know, I'm going to do some databases and some mail merge stuff and the kind of things I'm really comfortable with, and it turns out that's not what God sent me there to do. So I went all over the place. I did 11 of these sessions, north, south, east, west, meeting women from all over the place, big cities and slums and villages, and talk to them. Just like for a whole day, we had these training seminars on what it is to be a MOPS group and how to run a MOPS group and how to effectively reach out to women and what it means to be an authentic leader, which is very countercultural for them. That's not part of their culture at all. They just do not talk about things in general. So for these women to have a place to share their struggles and their burdens, they bond very easily. And the general response was, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing this already? So it was incredible to see that response all over the place and to see all the women I met. It didn't matter how old or young or what they looked like or where they were from. Ladies were all the same everywhere. We're all afraid of the same things, and we all need the same things, and we all want the same things and hope for the same things. So to see that playing out all over a country whose culture I don't know or really fit into, obviously, was incredible. What a gift from God that women are the same, and we can support one another in that way and possibly share the gospel more effectively among ourselves. Certainly, I can see that happening in India. I wasn't expecting to be a teacher. Turns out I really kind of enjoyed it. I was shocked. God taught me. I spent a lot of time also training developing musicians. I was actually the only professional musician I encountered for the whole time, and that's kind of been my whole musical career. And to my immense surprise, I loved it. I spent all kinds of time training these musicians and teaching them how to sing in three-part harmony. That's what they wanted to learn. And they just loved it. I had this moment of triumph about 4 months in as these girls and this guy finally got it. These are some of the ladies at MOPS. I'm sorry, I forgot I had pictures. You can keep going. So these are the ladies in the different parts of the country praying with each other, talking in small groups at these seminars. I mean, some of them were small, 30. This one was 300 or 400 women. So working with the musicians was really a great joy for me, and to be able to share what God has given me and all the training I've had for 20 years of my life, to be able to pour that into other people and see kind of them using those gifts in the church as well and using them outside was a tremendous blessing to me. And it was also a surprise to me. I wound up as the worship leader at the church, which I found very interesting. It was a wonderful time. Being able to kind of lead that congregation as they were starting a new building, starting a new branch, it was an incredible blessing to be able to do that. So on another MOPS trip, I was getting to know the pastor during this three-hour car ride. And as part of our conversation, we get to talking about women and trafficking, which is very, very, weighs very heavily on my heart. I do some work here with women at a home, leading worship for them, and I was sharing that, and he said, well, my wife and I do some work at a brothel in the city. Would you like to go? Well, yeah. So during the MOPS training the next day during our lunch break, they took me to this brothel. And can you go ahead to the little picture of kind of the shacks? Don't need to say anything about that one. So this is a brothel village in a city called Durgapur. 1,000 women live there with their pimps and with their kids. And the kids run around all day because there used to be a school and then the funding dried up for it. So there's just kids all over the place all the time. And 1,000 women live there. And there's a lady there who's kind of in charge of it. And she herself is a former prostitute, but she got into a fight with one of the Johns and he poured acid on part of her. So she's fairly disfigured. But her job is she lives in this place just right across from the cesspool and is an advocate for these women. And I don't mean that she's an advocate in the traditional sense like you think here, get out of prostitution. She's looked around, as have these women, and realized that this is kind of their best option. There's nothing else they can do. They have not been educated. They have not been valued enough to be educated. This is what is available to them. So this is what they're doing. So she's looking at these women and saying, all right, this is going to happen. How can I make this as good an environment for them as possible? So she gives them health care when they need it. She helps protect them from some of the men when they grow violent. And her whole life is advocating for these women. So I met with the women. You can go to the next one. They're young. They're old. They're beautiful. This is where they live. You can see the kind of huts behind them. Meeting with these women was probably one of the most worthwhile things I did while I was there. And I didn't do anything tremendous. Through an interpreter, I was able to just share a little bit about who I was and why I was there. The pastor that morning walked into the gathering and told those 400 ladies, did you know it is not a mistake that God made you a woman? So I was able to just tell them that. Tell them that there is so much strength that they can draw from being women. There is so much that they can do to encourage each other because they understand each other better than anybody else is ever going to. And even in this awful situation, they can draw strength from one another. I told them I was a musician, so they asked if I would sing something. So I sang, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. And the lyrics say, Take My Hand, Precious Lord, and Lead Me On. And I said, This is where I go, and I don't know where else to go. And I'm comforted knowing that I have a God to whom I can say, all right, God, take my hand, lead me on. So I said, this is my prayer for you as well, because I know that my God hears that prayer. And I told them, this is part of a program that my team does all over the place. We've just done it, I don't know, 20 times in the last couple weeks. So every time I hear this song, I'm thinking about them, and I'm praying for them. So I hope you will join me and praying for them too, because they truly are in an impossible situation. The pastor is doing great work there. He and his wife are incredible. Their kids are coming to Sunday school in his church. They did a whole Christmas pageant there. But still, it's only God is going to fix that situation. So please join me in praying for those ladies. There were a lot of younger girls there, and they ran out of the picture because they're hiding from their parents who think they're at school or something. So these are the ones that wanted to be in the picture. And they love to be in pictures. Everybody is like clamoring. You can't take a picture without 15 other people in it. So since I got home, I don't think I learned what I expected. I thought that God was going to send me to share my testimony from the last couple years, which had been really quite unpleasant. I thought I was going to be going there to share that with them to encourage women. And after I've come home, I mean, I wasn't able to share it there. What happened to me is pretty culturally taboo, so people don't talk about it. But I think I had to go there to develop the confidence and to really feel like myself again, to know who I am as myself, to know who I am in Christ, apart from everything else, because I was apart from everything else, to have enough, to be brave enough to share my story here, which I was afraid to do before. So God knows. I don't know. I'm glad I went. It was incredible. All of you were there with me. And I can't thank you enough for that. Do not forget these women. God bless these women. And thanks for the opportunity to share.